Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, I am here. I know you thought I wouldn't ever come on tonight, and I had no idea that I was rescheduled for 8 p.m. after the game. I just found that out when I came into the studio at 6:15. So I've been here ever since, waiting for the Auburn game to go off. And I must apologize because quite a few people who asked me about tonight, and I tell them I would be on at 7 o'clock, which I normally am on at 7 o'clock, okay? But this was a surprise. I'm sure in the future they will give me notification that my show will be an hour, in this case, an hour and 20 minutes late. But anyway, I'm here, and we're going to do the rest of our show. We got a lot to cover. I'm watching the State of the Union, or the unstatement of the Union by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and folks, what a disaster. I mean, it's unbelievable how you Democrats will lie with such a straight face out there. And that's what he is doing now. He's talking about how good the economy, but he won't talk about the border, the high interest rates, and, you know, the world situation that we're in now. I don't even think he's going to talk about the balloon situation, but we'll talk about it later on, folks. But before we get started, our number here is 251-343-0106. You can send us a text at that number. And we are a broadcast. FM Talk. 1065.com. You can hear us. You can go back and listen to our programs from way back, folks, way back. So, but as usual, we will play Dick Morris tonight because Dick is have some very important things to tell you, and then we'll take it from there.
Nothing can illustrate the weakness and the ineptitude of the Biden administration more than its response to the spy balloon China sent over the United States. They let it float for an entire week over every single part of the country before finally shooting it down over the North Atlantic Ocean. They claimed that they were worried that it might hit someone in the head. Well, Montana is a pretty sparsely populated place, and we'd have to have real good aim to do that. I don't think that's likely. The fact is that they didn't know what to do. They didn't know why China was doing it and didn't know how to counter it. The answer was very simple: shoot the damn thing down. One theory is that it was a platform, a trial platform, for launching electromagnetic pulse attacks in the United States. The other is that it was a spy balloon to get the details of our grid and the wiring of our electric power system to be able to knock it out. But whatever the theory is, it's clear that Biden has no idea what he's doing. And that was a hell of a trial balloon.
All right, folks. Dick Morris. It's funny, but it's not funny. I mean, it is totally unbelievable. Either we have stupid military leaders or Biden is lying, okay? And I feel the latter. That's my feeling, that he is lying. I don't think the military would purposely want to wait until that thing traveled across the United States before getting rid of it. I don't think so. I think they were waiting for him and his directions. And he said, Biden said, well, the military decided to wait. I don't believe that, folks. Like Dick Morris said, You have all, you have millions of acres, okay, in the woods where no civilization is. First of all, why did they wait until Montana? Why not in Alaska, where we have a lot more acreage up there? Desolate. Very little population. Okay. Why did they allow it to come all the way across the United States? And I was listening to Sean Hannity today, and he made a point. He asked the big question, did it have anything to do with Hunter Biden or Biden's brother? I believe his name is James, right? Or something like that. John. Did it have anything to do with them? Why are we selling oil to China out of our strategic reserve? Are they holding a string over the Biden's head? Are they dangling him, the Chinese? Why are the Chinese buying so much property in the U.S.? In very strategic areas. Folks, I don't think we should allow any foreigner to own any U.S. property. That's my belief. We can't buy it over there. Why should they be allowed to buy it here? Same thing with the Russians. There are a lot of Russians in America right now. A lot of Russians. But we can't go over there and buy property. But they are buying property. Same thing with the Japanese during the 60s and the 70s. Matter of fact, they even own Pebble Beach Golf. They own that, but they lost it. Okay. Why are we allowing all these foreigners? A lot of Africans, the same way. You have a couple of dictators in Africa who own property in America. Okay. South American dictators, they own property in America. Why are we allowing these folks to own property in America? Why are we allowing that? We should cut it off. We should nip it in the bud, folks. We should nip it in the bud. So, I tell you, and a lot of this is happening because of the Democrats, folks. Democrats. Think about that. The Democrats. You should all be ashamed of yourself for what you've turned this country into. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We are here, even though they cut some minutes off our program, but we are definitely here. And getting back to this State of the Union address, boy, oh boy, oh boy. I was talking about you Democrats. A lot of you are proud of what the Democrats are doing. How can you be? How can you be? They are destroying America. They are destroying America. Do you think under President Trump they would have sent that balloon over America? No, they wouldn't have, folks. I don't care what any of you say. There is no comparison. There is no comparison to between President Biden and President Trump. There's none. These countries would not even dare. Iran, North Korea, China, folks, they wouldn't dare to do what they've been doing over the past couple of years since the Biden administration have been in. And don't forget Afghanistan, folks. We made Afghanistan one of the strongest armies in the world and the best equipped with billions of dollars of our sophisticated armament, helicopters, tanks, machine guns, rockets, you name it. We left those over there. And we left some Americans behind. Some of them have gotten out. I know that to be a fact. Okay. They are proud of that. You who voted for him are proud of that. You should be ashamed of yourself. You Democrats should be ashamed of yourself. I'm watching him right now with his State of the Non-Union, okay? The lies that he is telling, in my opinion, okay? And he's painting such a rosy picture of America and his administration. And then you watch the Democrats get up and clap every 3 minutes, okay? You watch him get up and clap, like, oh, man, President Biden, you're doing a fantastic job. It's totally unbelievable. 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 And I know quite a few Democrats who think that this guy walks on water. And this is the same Mr. Biden on video saying that he wouldn't allow his children to go to school with minorities. In 1994, I believe, that video came out. Okay? But people are still voting for him. Now, who are they going to put up in the 2024 election? Who? We know who we have right now. We don't know who else is going to get in. But I can tell you, I've seen signs around Baldwin County says DeSantis 2024. Okay? Now, who are putting those signs out? Is it rhinos? Is it Democrats? We don't know. We don't know what the Democrats would do. Look what they did to Judge Roy Moore. That's why he won a court settlement of about $9 million from them for the lies that they spread against Judge Moore, okay? So you can't put anything across the Democrats. Nothing. Not one iota. So listen to what Dick Morris says. He knows what he's talking about. And he talks about facts. Facts, facts, facts. So folks, we better wake up. We have better wake up. Even us Republicans, you know, we looked at the election in Baldwin County in the District 33, which was Pete Ream, Commander Pete Ream, retired United States Navy commander, Lieutenant Colonel equivalent, and Vivian Figures, who've been in office for 24 years, who've done zero, and doing the realignment after the census, 2020 census, some of her district came over to Baldwin County, Spanish Fort primarily. And when the election happened, I think around 58% voted. That's a Republican 98% district. Why didn't we have 98, 95, 90% voting in that district? Now you have Vivian Figures, Senator Vivian Figures, is in District 33, but in Spanish Fort area, okay? Because Republicans didn't get out to vote. They did not vote like they should have. We have better wake up, we Republicans. I can recall a few years ago, Georgia was like Alabama. I can recall I left here when I was 10 and we went to New Jersey. I can recall New Jersey was like Alabama. New York, remember? Governor Rockefeller, 16 years. He was the governor up there. New York was like Alabama. Michigan, Illinois, Arizona was like Alabama. Now look at those states. Now, I have to be honest with you. It was not all, in my opinion, fair elections in those places. Pennsylvania. How can a guy who, I don't know, be elected a senator who couldn't even talk in Pennsylvania? And he's running against a doctor, a medical doctor. How could he, folks? I'll give you some idea. If you look at a map, election map, you will see red all over the outside of the urban areas. Then you go to the urban cities and you see blue. Red means Republican. Blue means Democrat. So I call it, and some other blacks call it, a plantation, urban plantation. You look at that, folks, and you say, why are all of these cities, most of them are Democrat, blue? Blue. Why are they? Why are the suburban areas all red? That's because the Democratic Party has a stranglehold on the urban cities. And they'll do anything and everything to maintain that. And they tried it in Alabama. Look at Birmingham. Look at Jefferson County in Birmingham. Birmingham and Jefferson County. Look at Montgomery, the city, and now Montgomery County. And they tried to take over Mobile City and Mobile County. And that's the reason, one of the reasons why 2 weeks ago we had the citizens' annexation, the chairman of that committee and city councilman. You have three black councilmen on the city council of Mobile, and you have four whites. Now, the four whites said we would allow these communities to annex into Mobile. And they need it, folks, because if you are a city and you have under 200,000 people, you get less money from the federal government, less taxes and everything. And I forgot his name, but he was the chairman of the committee. But, you know, we're talking about millions of dollars a year that the city's losing because they've been in this struggle for going on 5 years. This is the fifth year. So how many millions of dollars have the city lost because of these three black councilmen? All they need is one to vote them in. Now, I can tell you that I think two communities came in under Sam Jones, who's a black mayor, two terms, okay? And they allowed him to annex those communities. Why? Because they were predominantly black. So now you have the reversal, reverse discrimination. Now we are not going to allow you to come into the city, these communities, because they're predominantly white. And you three councilmen, listen up. It makes no difference. Look at the mayor's race. Sandy has been there for three terms now. Going on, he's on his third term. Mobile is predominantly black versus white. I think they have like 4, 5, 6, 7% more blacks than white. And who did they vote for? The white mayor. Okay? So it makes no difference, folks. I don't care if you have 60% blacks more than white. If it's a good mayor, they're going to vote for him. And that's what they did, three terms, for Sandy Simpkin. So this justification that these three black councilmen are using is crap. It's crap. It's nothing but a bunch of malarkey. That's all it is. That's all it is. Okay? So, folks, And one other thing, when we're talking about that, look at our cities. And the reason I say the Democrats lie so, you remember in 2020 when they had the riots and Antifa and Black Lives Matter? How come you never hardly hear them anymore while there's a Democratic president? Okay? You heard about it when Trump was here. And again, even before that, I remember I went to, I think it was 2012, to the Republican convention in St. Paul, Minnesota. And from the hotel, you had to go to the arena. So we were on the bus. We had a state police, one state trooper inside the bus, and we were heading to the arena. And all of a sudden, we stopped at this corner, and wham, rocks start hitting the bus and breaking the windows. And there were like four of us, I think, who were retired lawmen, but we didn't have our weapons because they didn't want us to bring them to the arena. But there's a trooper on the bus, a Minnesota trooper, and he called to get some help. But they were all these predominantly white children in black. They were Antifa, and they bombed our bus. And then they had after a while, there were about 15 carloads of police officers that came, and they had the rescuers. So, folks, let me tell you something. We're in a dangerous situation right now. And we've better correct that, and we can't do it with Democrats in office. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We're on a mission. And that little story I just told you about St. Paul, Minnesota, that is a very true story, folks. Okay? That is a very true story. We didn't know what was going to happen. They were bombing our bus. And that was we were part of the Alabama delegation. And like Philip just said, that is insurrection, okay? But the Democrats don't want to cover that. You didn't hear too much about that. And they were all over. When we had our convention up there in Minnesota, they were all over. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, they were all over the place, okay? So is it fair? No, it's not. We just better get some guts, the Republicans, and stand up to the Democrats. Another thing, you know, we talked about Memphis, the situation in Memphis, and I really condemn that situation. It was a lot more than what you guys know about it. It was a revenge thing, okay? So dirty cops, you suffer the consequence. And we talked about things that should be done to recruit, not police reform. Well, I guess it is police reform. But I don't think any policeman, anyone should become a policeman under the age of 21. That's a lot of responsibility, folks. You get an 18, 19-year-old out there with a weapon like that, and their chest is sticking out, and, you know, and a lot of oaks, you know, and vigor. I don't think so. I think we should do it at 21 like it used to be when I was a police officer. And I also think that policemen should have at least a 2-year associate degree. Minimum, 2-year. Now bring them on at 18 or 19 or 20 when... Make them a cadets, okay? But don't make them full-fledged police officers. Make them cadets. And then when they turn 21, send them to the academy. And I think they'll have a lot more respect and a lot better brain to handle the situation because I don't see how you can do any police. Look, folks, as a cop, I spent 7 years in uniform. And you don't know what to expect. You don't know what to expect. Okay? You have different criteria. You have different situations in order to try to prepare yourself when you're in the academy. But it can't be everything. Can't be everything. I told you that I delivered a baby by myself. I did. The only practice I had or insight as to what to do is when I was in the police academy and they showed us films of women having baby and how the cops responded. Okay? So I did it by myself, and by the time help got there, I had the baby crying, you know, not at least breathing. You know, I, instead of spanking it on the behind, I spanked it on the heel of his foot, you know, like that, because my fingers are so big. But he started crying. She started crying. And I said, I got you now. I got you now. And I you know, cleaned it off and had it in a towel. And by the time they got there, they allowed me to cut the cord. And the mother and father named the baby after me, Georgette. And I don't know where she's at now, but she's probably a grandmother by now. But I it happened. It happened. I'll give you one more incident that happened. We get a call that the mother was having problems with her son, and by the time we got there, there was a unit before I got there. And I had a big dog, so my dog was in the car barking. But this kid was under LSD, and he had bit his thumb off and swallowed it, part of his thumb, and swallowed it, okay? Yeah, the only thing we could do is wrap it up and wait for medical folks to get there, transport him to the hospital. But he was on that stuff, and during that time, LSD was big with Dr. Timothy Leary, and he's the one that created that stuff, from what I heard, and it was bad. Now, this fentanyl is worse. Fentanyl will kill you much quicker than LSD. LSD would put you on a ride. It would put you out there in space. Fentanyl would put you under the ground. That's how dangerous fentanyl is. It will put you on the ground. So, and to say this, if you remember over the past couple of years, especially when the Antifa and the Democrats were burning down the cities, and then you have an incident like the George Floyd. In my estimation, he was high on something. Now, the policeman was wrong for putting his hand, his foot on his neck. That was wrong. But George Floyd, they called him because he was committing a crime. Okay? And then he didn't want to be arrested. And he was high on something. So, and then everybody started talking about police reform or, cutting the budget of the police officers. The police forces, and they did it in the Democratic cities. But let me tell you what's happening now. And one of my friends mentioned that, as well as Dick Morris mentioned that. Now we have vigilante groups, okay? And what they're doing, people are becoming vigilantes. They are taking the law into their own hand because the police is not there. The police can't be every place, folks. Okay, especially if you cut your budgets, and if you downsize the police, they can't be everywhere. So now people are saying, you come by my house, you're going to get it. You try to rob me, you're going to get it. And I was watching a couple of videos the other day, and I spent 6 years in Brazil as a DEA agent, and I talked to some of my buddies who were in the police. Brazilian federal police. And now you know what people are doing? In the urban areas, they call them favelas, Rio, Sao Paulo, Bahia, and Fortaleza, and some of those cities, Natal, in the urban, the ghettos, they call them favelas. Well, there's a lot of robberies going on, and you get two guys on a motorbike, and one would jump off and rob, and jump back on, and they take off. Now, they're showing some films of people, if they're about to be robbed, they just run right over the bike. They run right over them, okay? And don't be riding a motorbike with two people on it in Brazil now, because they are afraid you're going to rob them. So they're running over these people. They're taking the law into their own hand. And I remember a station in Brazil when I was there in the 80s, and in the prison system, it's a hard prison system. And families have to bring food in to their loved ones who are in prison. So in order to express their dismay with the prison system, they would, once a week, they would take a weak prisoner and kill him, and to show how bad the prison was. And that happened for a long time. While I was in Brazil, that happened, folks. Okay? That's what the other prisoners would do for prison reform. So, and then numerous folks over there, if you were committing a crime and they catch you, they would string you up. I only have a minute and a half, and I would tell you, I was also in Nigeria, and I covered 40 countries, myself and my agents. And one of my agents picked me up at the airport when I first arrived in Lagos, and my driver, Pito. So when we got three blocks from the embassy, we had to turn a right and go into Embassy Row. And there's a big disturbance just creeping along. So I asked Sam, I said, Sam, find out from Pito, what's going on? So he said, he opened the, let his window down, asked somebody in Yoruba language, and they said they had just, a guy tried to take a car with a woman and a baby. So they put gasoline on them and a tire, and they burned them. So by the time we got up to the corner and went around to Embassy Row, there's a body there smoldering. That body stayed there three days until the ambassador started complaining. And then only then would the government took the body away, okay? And you can't be a body when and call the police. They'll think you robbed them. They'll arrest you. They'll think you did the murder. So that's what's happening in these countries, folks. And we don't want that to happen in America. But I see things going that way. And we'll talk about this more in the future. Until then, Vicon Dales, everybody.